A Prime Time with Clarissa Montero replay from Money FM 89.3. Chasing Cars with Clarissa and Julian Coe from SG Car Mart. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. We did not have this conversation last week because Julian Coe was busy in Germany, right? Doing something with some car brand or another.
Oh, well, it's the job.
It is the job. It's one I envy, I have to say. I wish I was invited to these kind of drives on location. But I saw the pictures of you before, during and after these drives. So I know you got up to quite a bit of mischief.
Oh, well, I had such a good time.
Okay, enough. Now, today, shut up, Julian. Today, we're not talking about German cars. Well, actually, we are talking about German cars, but we're not talking about those German cars that you visited. Yes. Today, it's about electric, sustainable, eco-friendly cars.
Yes.
Now, when they first came out, I think a lot of people thought novelty. Car makers have to make these, so they make it, but nobody's expecting to sell them.
Yeah.
Nobody's expecting to actually buy them.
Yep,
you know,
it's
just we have them. See, we're sustainable.
Trying to show off technology and stuff.
But I think that is shifting.
Yep.
And I think that there are. You see them. You see them on the road.
Yeah.
And not just taxis. You see a lot of hybrids on the roads.
Yes.
You do see pure electric cars on the roads now. So we're going to turn our attention to a few that we've narrowed down, we've test driven, and we'll give you our opinions. We start with the Hyundai Ioniq.
I never thought Hyundai would actually be capable of coming up with something like this. It is a very intriguing car because the Ioniq can actually have three different powertrains in that car. Plug-in, a full-on hybrid, as well as an electric powertrain inside. And it's not shabby at all.
And what really surprised me was how long the range of the battery life is.
Exactly.
Pretty much, you know, if you drive, if you're one of those people, and a lot of us are, okay, a lot of you are, not so much me, but a lot of us are, you know, you drive to work, you drive home, and maybe you go do groceries, and maybe you go visit the in-laws over the weekend.
Yeah.
The range of that battery for the Ioniq could basically last you a week.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
I think for someone like me, it's going to last me for 2 weeks because I don't drive a lot in my own car because I've got a lot of
That's
test
true.
Cars
I mean,
stuff,
you know, so, yeah, I walk into my actual car because we spend so much time test driving. I end up, you know, with spiders on my dashboard.
Spider webs.
You know, dust.
But yes, no, I have to completely agree with you on the range of the Ioniq.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's really amazing. It's something that, like I said, it's something that I did not expect Hyundai to come up with.
Mm.
It's a very capable car. And it's very car-like. You know, there are some
electric cars.
Yes.
It looks like a car.
Exactly.
It drives like a car.
Yeah, exactly. It behaves like a real car.
It doesn't behave like a ride at an amusement park.
Yes.
Which is what you expect from an
electric. You would think
that
electric cars are, you know, you're going in and it feels like futuristic. You have got weird gear knobs, weird buttons, and you've got weird steering wheels, but it's not. The Ioniq Electric is a car that is a true blue car. It behaves like a car. It looks like a car. It drives like a car. And that is really what you want.
It's pretty amazing,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And
you
what
don't
I
want to
like about
away.
It is family size.
Yeah, exactly.
You can fit a family of five in the car.
Yes.
You can fit in your week's groceries.
More than a week.
Actually, that's true. It's got a pretty spacious
room.
But, you know, so that's what I mean. It's really a true blue family car.
Yep.
So you'll be forgiven for actually forgetting that it is not a petrol-driven car or a diesel car. It is an electric.
Yes.
And power delivery being electric, very linear.
Yeah. Your torque is one line. It's
Which
a
is
single
not
line
bad.
Torque.
It's quite nice.
The moment you press, it'll go. And that is what we like.
Yes. Press and go.
Yes.
We like.
But it's not just the Ioniq. I mean, from the onset, there are a lot of car makers who came up with electric cars, and one of the most popular ones, of course, is the BMW.
Well, they were one of the first to the market.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about two of the BMWs because you have to talk about two, not one. We are talking to Julian Coe. This is Chasing Cars. And, of course, two BMWs talking about i3, i8. Total opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yep.
One quite, well, depending on your idea of affordability, one quite affordable, one like you... you know, need to sell a left kidney or something to be able to afford.
I'll have to sell my left arm, my right leg. Yeah.
Live in a cardboard box.
Yes, it's not possible.
But how do they drive? I mean, okay, I have not test driven the i8, so I'm going to rely on you for that. But I can say that I've test driven two different variants of the i3.
Right.
An older release and the current release. And what I was actually really happy with was how much better it got. Because, you know, from like, two, maybe three years ago to the current one that they are selling now, it's gotten a lot better. The range has extended. Because that was one of my complaints a few years ago.
Bad range.
The range is not, I can't have peace of mind. The minute I drive,
range anxiety.
I'm looking for where I can charge this car. And so now with the extended range on the i3, that's not so much of an issue. Again, it's got some pretty decent range. It's an extended battery.
Yeah.
And it's not so much a family car. It is a small family car. It seats four max.
Yep.
You can't carry a week's worth of groceries in the back. But it is a lifestyle car. It's kind of fun. It's quirky looking.
It's definitely quirky looking. I mean, you drive on the road, people are definitely going to stare at you. I remember the i3, very cool. It was a very cool car when it was first released. I was in Amsterdam then, and then we had to go for the car launch. And I remember it being the most suitable car for the city. And I was telling a colleague of mine, actually. I said, this car would be perfect for Singapore. But like you were saying, it was actually quite bad in terms of range.
Yes.
But BMW has definitely improved that. But you got to give it to them because it was one of the first manufacturers that actually came up with this electric car that was ready for customers to buy.
Right.
Right? So they had no experience to fall back on. So
That's the i3 was the first one.
So you got to give it to them.
It was a blank template, right?
Exactly.
So they were creating it.
And yet they could come up with something that amazing. You got to give it to them. But the i8, on the other hand,
it's just a gorgeous car.
I was very impressed because of the fact that it was very close to the concept car.
Mm-hmm.
It looked very close to the concept car, but it drove, it was such a wonderful car because, you know, when you step into like a supercar, you feel scared. In the i8, no such thing. You go in and you're like, I can do
but
this.
But she sounds like a supercar. She doesn't. The thing with electric cars is they can be next to you and idling. Oh, not that they idle per se. But they can be on.
Yes. Okay, but the interesting thing about
the i8 has got a beautiful sound.
The i8 actually sounds fantastic, especially when you're inside the car. Obviously, you don't hear so much of it outside, but when you're driving it, it sounds like a real car. It is a plug-in hybrid.
Yeah, but for almost $600,000, it better sound like a real car. In fact,
okay, so here's the deal. When I was driving the i8, someone in his Aston Martin stopped beside me, and this is a true story, at the lights, and he actually gave me the thumbs up. He actually gave me the thumbs up.
Funny, because in my previous condo development, there were two i8s.
Oh.
Right, two i8s. And at this point, I used to drive a Jag. And every time I drove past the two i8s, it was a different finger they got. I leave it at that.
We call this a finger of jealousy.
It happens. Total envy.
It happens.
That is true. But the BMW i8 is a beautiful car. The fact that it's electric is quite amazing because of its performance stats, etc. But that comes with a massive price point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the Roadster was out at BMW World.
Mm.
I prefer the coupe. I don't really like the Roadster, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know, if you're sitting on the side of a car like that going, $590,612, and you really, Justin.
Yes.
Not same price point.
No, but I do feel like I'm
Julian
driving.
Justin. Why did I just call you Justin?
No, but for the fact that if you drive an i8, you're already attracting so many eyes. So, you know, I don't want a Roadster because that will just attract more eyes on you.
You driving can't handle that kind of attention.
Yeah, nah, I want to have like understated kind of stuff. You
if
know?
You want understated, you don't buy an i8 at all.
That's why I'm driving my car.
So now let's go to a car that's a bit more understated, still within this whole hybrid and sustainable, eco-friendly thing. We're talking to, you're not Justin, Julian Koh from SG Carmart. This is Chasing in cars. Now, the Lexus.
Yes.
I actually have friends who own the Lexus hybrids, and they've gone quite big into the whole hybrid concept.
Yeah, Bonny Motors, I mean, Toyota itself, they have been advocates of hybrids. You know, they believe like hybrid is the way to go and stuff. And they are right because they can justify, right? Mm-hmm. I got back from Sweden, I think, about 3 weeks ago, and I did their latest car, the Lexus UX, both petrol and hybrid. It's just as impressive. I mean, it's a small, it's the size of like a Q3X1 Macan kind of size. And it drives really well.
Okay.
Okay, you'd be surprised. I mean, you think that Lexus, you know, it's like an old man's perception, right? But it's not. It's
an old man's SUV.
Especially when it's hybrid. Right. But no. It's more than that. Okay. That is definitely more than that. In fact, Lexus, I think they are launching the new all-new ES on Saturday, 13th of October, mm-hmm. I think. 13th mm-hmm. and 14th mm-hmm. of October. And I drove the ES as well in the States. I love that car. The Lexus ES is...
This is a hybrid as well?
It's the hybrid. Okay. It has grown from just being a comfort luxury car mm-hmm. to something that has become sportier. There are rumors that it's supposed to supersede and replace the GS, which is a sporty version of the ES, along those lines.
You know, this is the problem that I have with Lexus. Too many letters. I'm dyslexic.
But the hybrids, you have to give it to them, for sure. They are...
All right. Well, hybrids, I think, are very popular in Singapore, because I can't speak for other markets, but I can speak for Singapore because Singaporeans like to hedge our bets. You know, it's not totally electric. So if I run out of battery, it's not like I'm going to be stuck on the
road.
Okay,
that is true.
It's true. I still got petrol distance.
I don't have range anxiety.
Don't have range anxiety.
I can still go. Yes, yes, that's true.
Singaporeans are very practical. We are all very practical. We will hedge our bets.
Plus, we want good fuel economy. It's something. It's one
that's
of the factors.
True.
And in fact, I have asked, I think, countless of people, right? And all of them said, you know what, one of the first priority when I actually get a car is fuel economy, the consumption of the car. And that's where the hybrid cars come into play.
Okay, well, that's your hybrid cars. I have to say that I did suffer from range anxiety when I tried the first i3, which is going back a couple of years.
Yes.
I didn't feel so much range anxiety, as in almost none at all, with the current i8 range extender.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't have any range anxiety with the Ioniq because it's a very, very massive battery life and distance, range, etc., etc.
Yep.
So let's talk about the practical stuff. The Ioniq comes in about 130,000-ish, a little bit less if you don't want the sunroof, a little bit over 130 with the sunroof. That's a very, very well-priced family car. i3 is 170+. The i8 is
a lot more. That's a different category altogether.
At about the 60. Yeah, but we're talking about different people. Different cars for different people. The i8 is about 600,000...
600-ish,
little under, little over, depending on all the specs, bells and whistles. Now, the Lexus comes in at...
It's a good 250 onwards.
Okay, so we've got a whole, you know, we've got four different cars, very different price points, starting with the Ioniq at 130-ish. You've got the i3 at 170-ish. You've got the i8 at 600-ish.
Yep.
And the Lexus at 200-ish.
200-ish, yes.
200-ish. So, something that we're going to do on Chasing Cars every week from today, but... starting today.
Yes.
Four cars. Okay. Pick your best choice.
In all honesty, I would really love to have the i8, even if I have countless, you know, I've got money in my bank account just sitting
even
there.
Even if you have
doing
to be,
nothing.
You know, 1 foot less. Yeah. And maybe sell a lung or something.
But like I said, I don't want the attention all on me. I will get the Ioniq.
Right.
I will get the Ioniq.
But that's not fair, because I was going to say the Ioniq.
For the Ioniq, for the very simple fact that it's a car. It's an electric car that behaves, drives, and looks like a car, feels like a car. There's no weird gear knobs, weird buttons, weird chairs, weird-looking steering wheel, nothing at all. Mm-hmm. It is a car. So I don't feel like I'm getting into something...
So you're being a typical Singaporean, and you're hedging your bets as well.
Yep.
I would buy the i8 if I had the car money, but practically I'll buy the Ioniq. So Singaporean your answer. Okay, so I'm going to be Singaporean as well. If it was just me, myself and I did, and my husband and children suddenly disappeared. And I've been trying, but they keep coming back. I would buy the i3 because it's a lot of fun. It's cute. It's quirky. I like that. I really do like that.
Fair enough.
But since, you know, there is the children and the husbands.
And they're not disappearing.
And they're not disappearing. Yes, they're not. Then I actually agree with you. I would pick the IONIQ. It's very well priced. It is a family-sized car.
Yes.
And you can have family-sized sensibilities with this car. So I really like that about it. It's very, very practical.
And I must say this for the record, potential buyers need to get over the fact that Hyundai is just a Korean brand. And you know, you have like, yes, the Korean brands started really slow in the past, but they have really caught up. They are producing cars that are very well spec, they look good, and they drive very decently. And Hyundai is definitely no exception.
I have to agree with you. And that's true. Their specs have come up. And they're definitely comparable.
Yep. They've got ventilated seats as standard.
Okay. But a guy would care about that more than a girl.
I know. I mean, in our weather, man, when I get into the car, I want to feel cool.
So spoiled. How did you ever survive NS?
How did I survive NS? That is a good question.
That's another conversation for another day. Next week, we turn our attention back to slightly less practical cars.
Okay.
You know, it's been a long time since we've spoken about fun cars. So we're going to rack our brains, search our list of test drive cars and come up with cars that we would classify as fun cars.
Yes.
That's next week on Chasing Cars. So for this week and the first time that we did a star buy of the week, our recommended star buy, the Hyundai IONIQ.
Yep.
Go check it out if you are concerned about the environment. This has been Chasing Cars with Julian Koh. I'm Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.